So the question was asked, how are we to understand? The Mishnah tells us, "Kol shiruach abriot nocha imenu, ruach hamakom nocha imenu." That whoever is, it would seem on the surface, whoever is well liked below, God likes him above, and of course, if he's not liked below, so then he's not liked from above. So then, how do we understand? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Romans wanted to kill him. The Rambam, many people disagreed with him and were upset with him. There are many examples throughout history of people who weren't so well liked down below. So how does that work with this Mishnah, right? What other examples did you give? Ramchal and who else? Rav Kook, okay.
What do you mean they weren't liked? So that's
really the key to the answer is to understand what the Mishnah was talking about. When the Mishnah says Ruach HaBriot Nocha Himenu, but the spirit of God's creatures is comfortable, is pleasant with Him. That's a reference to how people view Him on a personal level. The argument against Rav Kook or Ramchal or the Rambam was a philosophical argument. No one held personally, this person is garbage, this person is a bad person, this person shouldn't be trusted, don't give him a loan. No, people knew they could trust him, they knew they were fine people. Philosophically, their actions, halachically, those arguments. So within those arguments, sometimes they felt he's off, he's wrong. So people went out, if you want, the Rambam, people went out against him. Even Rabbeinu Yonah went out against him. They held what he did was wrong. They held halachically it was wrong. Did they think the Rambam is a terrible person? If he asks you for a loan, don't give him any money? No. Would they have an issue with him to be his neighbor? No. Take Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. If we want to take an example from the past century, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who had a big disagreement with Rav Kook, nonetheless, when there was a question of traveling around to the farmers in Israel and ensuring that they knew the laws of Shemitah and Shemitah was being kept properly, they traveled together. They were fond of one another. Rav Zonnenfeld disagreed very strongly with Rav Kook on certain issues. And he fought against him on those issues. But when it came to other things, they were together. There was even a story where there was a wedding and Rav Kook was supposed to be officiating the wedding. And Rav Zonnenfeld was coming as an honored guest. What's known is that you always give whoever you view as the biggest rabbi, you give him the honor of officiating the wedding. So Rav Zonnenfeld didn't mind. He came. As a side note, there are many britot where Rav Zonnenfeld was the mohel and Rav Kook was the sandik. Rav Zonnenfeld was a mohel. So there were many britot where they were together. Rav Kook was holding the baby and Rav Zonnenfeld was doing the bris on the baby. At this wedding, sort of the person who was marrying off the child he held Rav Kook in very high esteem, very high regard, and so he had asked Rav Kook to officiate the wedding, to be the Masader Kiddushin, and he had also asked Rav Zonnenfeld to come. So of course Rav Zonnenfeld was happy to come, and some of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld's students and some of his members of his congregation, they came and they said, "No way, how could you go? They're telling you that you're second to Rav Kook. Rav Kook is going to be officiating the wedding." So Rav Zonnenfeld said, "I don't care. The person wants to invite me to the wedding. So of course I'll go. So what if Rav Kook's officiating the wedding?" So the congregants tried pressuring him into not going, and they saw it wouldn't work. So they came back to him and they said, "Okay, you're a modest person, you want to forego your own honor, but what about our honor? You're our representative, you're our rabbi." So he said, "Okay, I resign, no problem. I won't embarrass you, I won't be your rabbi." They tried all kinds of ways. There's a long story, we're making a long story short, but at the end of the day, he went. He didn't have any problem with it. And there are many such stories. When we find that rabbis disagreed vehemently with one another, we have to understand that they disagreed, but that doesn't mean they didn't respect one another. They respected, they valued. The problem is when you have little people who think that they understand and they enter the scene. So then they often act improperly. there are many instances where Rav Kook was shamed publicly, where people put up signs and did all kinds of things that were improper. And it wasn't at the behest of Rav Zonnenfeld or the other giants of the time. You even find letters from the giants of the time protesting these youngsters who did these things to shame Rav Kook. There were things that were done. There were signs that were posted against him and things that were said that were very, very bitter against him. That's true, but they were said by the little people. You could see an example of that. Rav Waldenberg, who just passed away, the Tzitz Eliezer, whenever he quotes Rav Kook, not only does he quote him in the Tshuvas, but he speaks about the great giant, the genius Rav Kook. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also is quoted as also speaking with very high regard about Rav Kook. And you find many people, I mean, you could see the letters from the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. There were a lot of rabbis who disagreed with Rav Kook on certain matters, but they still spoke of him with great respect and great regard. You could see it in many, many letters. There's a whole book called Letters to Rav Kook. It quotes the letters that different rabbis wrote. Among them was the Chazon Ish and others. You see how there are many. It doesn't matter. You could look at the book. You'll see many. You'll see Rav Finkel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. You'll see many. They all held him in very high regard. They might have disagreed with him, but he was a giant. He was a big, big Talmud Chacham. So he definitely fell into the category of Ruach HaBriot Nochai Menu, that people were comfortable, they felt good with him. They might have disagreed with him philosophically, halachically, hashkafically. That's a different point. That's not a contradiction of Ruach HaBriot Nochai Menu. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is for sure not a problem. So the Romans had an issue with him. It doesn't affect anything. You're right that the word Briot doesn't refer to Jews specifically. The Mishnah says, anyone who God's creations feel comfortable with him. The Romans didn't feel uncomfortable with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's not that they felt he's not a person we want to be around. They were upset because philosophically he disagreed with them. So they wanted to kill him. But it wasn't that a Roman would say, oh, him, he's such a bum, I don't want to be his neighbor. No, everyone was happy with him. Rabin Yonan, explaining this Mishnah, he quotes from the Gemara in Yuma. He says, what does it mean that people feel comfortable with him? It means that they trust him, that when he does business with them, it's pleasant to deal with him. All the rabbis were people that did business pleasantly, they were pleasant people. He quotes the Gemara in Yuma, that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be someone who, when he does business, everyone's happy to do business with him. He's pleasant to deal with. Okay, so I think everyone fell under that category. That's what the Mishnah means. The fact that people disagreed philosophically or for other reasons, that doesn't contradict this. Make sense? Okay.